This is an amateur recording of Seamus Young's book, How I Learned. It can be found online at his website, seamusyoung.com/20sided tale.
Chapter 12. Meet the Sitters. During the school year, I spend my day in three environments: home, the sitters, and school. During the summer, it's just the sitter all day. Since Mom works full-time and her job is almost an hour away, this makes for a long stretch of time with an adult who is paid to tolerate us. Our current sitter is Amelia, a demanding, prudish woman with a deep southern accent. Her husband is a preacher. She has two sons, Carl and Darren, who are just a little older than Patrick and I. All of these names are changed to protect the, well, you'll see. Not Patrick. His name is the same. Look, you know how this works. Carl and Darren perfectly follow the preacher's kid stereotype I will encounter again and again over the next decade. That is, they are a couple of rotten little hellion bastards. They are a couple of rotten little hellion bastards, mean-spirited, selfish, and cunning. This is not their crime. Their crime is, like many preacher's kids, that they are masters at getting away with it and presenting an innocent front. They amuse themselves by finding various ways to land Patrick and me in trouble, and at pitting us against each other. Also, they never let us touch their good toys, which stings because some of their stuff is really cool. When they tell on us, and they love to tell on us, they will hold up the incriminating evidence and then embellish the details to make us sound guiltier. If someone gets hurt roughhousing, then they testify that the injury was done maliciously, on purpose. If a toy is broken, then Patrick or I must have smashed it deliberately, for some reason. We learn quickly that the word of Carl and Darren holds more weight than our own, a policy that grows stronger as Pat and I are convicted of more and more counts of assault and vandalism. Amelia claims that I grab myself a lot, and is deeply offended by this. I'm on a lot of medication. My nervous system is delivering an avalanche of overwhelming sensory input, and I'm not aware of a lot of things my body is doing. I'm often scratching my nose or ears, or pulling at my clothes, or standing on one foot, or waving my arms around, or doing other things that break the social norms. Also, my resistance to change means I'm slow to give up on clothes, even after I've grown out of them. So the question is, do I, an overstimulated kid wearing pants that don't fit, spend a lot of time adjusting myself? While I'm not aware of ever doing this, I will allow that it is very plausible. I will plead no contest. One day, while watching TV, I have a blanket draped over me because it's cold. Suddenly, she strips the blanket away in anger. I look up at her and blink. This was a rare, calm, and lucid moment for me, and I'm disappointed to have it interrupted like this. "Where were your hands just now?" she demands, hotly. My hands are currently folded over my chest, and they've been like this for a long time. I know, because one of them was kind of tingling from being in the same position for so long, and I was holding it there because I found the sensation interesting. However, I don't know what to make of her sudden, inexplicable anger, so I stare at her, dumbfounded, like I always do when adults stop making sense. "Just a moment ago, where were your hands?" she asks again. "Right here," I nod. I still haven't moved them. Enraged, she drags me upstairs and explains that she knows my hands were on my crotch. Now, this might do a lot of stuff without realizing it, and I might lose track of my body from time to time. I might fall down, knock things over, fumble what things while I'm holding, and otherwise fail to keep my limbs under control, but in this case, I know where my hands have been. "Now," she says, "where were your hands?" "On my chest," I say quietly. I don't know what to make of her anger. What is this about? "Just before I pulled the blanket away. Didn't you have them below the belt?" Why are adults so obsessed with privates all of a sudden? "No," I mutter. My mouth is dry and I'm shaking. I hate this. This is gross and uncomfortable. I don't want to talk about this. I don't see why she's so angry, and I don't care. "I know you did. Now, did you have your hands below your belt before I pulled back the blanket?" I'm at a loss. All I have is my word, and she's rejected it three times. As far as I can tell, she's going to keep accusing me until I agree with her. I'll do anything to end this conversation, so finally I blurt out, "Yes." "Why did you lie to me?" she demands. Instead of placating her, my confession has enraged her even more. I'm trying not to cry. I really thought she was just getting angry because I was arguing with her, and just accepting her accusation would bring this to a close. "Why did you lie to me?" she asks again. I refuse to speak. There is no point in saying anything. She has me sit on the chair and storms off. She has gone for a long, long time, leaving me sitting in the chair in the middle of a room with no clock. Once she's gone, I try to piece together the conversation and see where I went wrong. I realized that admitting guilt was a mistake. I should never have done that, although I'm really at a loss as to what the right move was. Stand there and let her call me a liar and ask about my privates all day? Don't admit to stuff you haven't done, no matter what pressure is put on you or what promises your accuser makes. Good lesson to learn. Better now than later, although I might have preferred a less painful illustration. When Amelia comes back, she tells me that once I'm home, I need to confess to Mom what I did. This is an impossible demand, since it would involve my confessing a crime I didn't do and don't understand, and it would require having another conversation about my privates. I've had enough of those to last me the rest of my life. Every day for the next week, she asks me, "Did you tell your mom what you did?" "No." "You need to tell her. Tell her tonight. I'm serious." I never say anything to Mom. Sometime later, Amelia explains to Mom that she will no longer be our sitter, claiming that Seamus just refuses to try. This is distressing. Sure, she was overbearing, unjust, and paranoid, and her sons were gleeful sadists, but I fear change. Moreover, this is very, very upsetting to Mom. It's hard enough to find a sitter that's conveniently located, harder still to find one willing to take care of two boys our age. Most sitters want adorable toddlers, not rambunctious preteens. And almost impossible to find one that doesn't have pets. Add in the fact that they need to be affordable and you have a recipe for a hopeless search. A few extended family members can burn sick days and take turns taking care of us, but those sick days and goodwill are a finite resource. All of this to explain how we ended up with our next sitter, who, like the one before her, is not running for Caregiver of the Year. She doesn't actually let us into her house. She babysits us by having us sit on her porch. For 9 or 10 hours, we are in her care. We are in the city, next to a busy highway, so there is nothing to do and nowhere to go. She offers us no toys. There's no yard, or indeed any grass at all, or play area. She gets angry at us if we interrupt her soap operas and get a drink or go to the bathroom. And we have to interrupt her because she locks the door when she puts us out, obliging us to knock. This is our summer vacation. Patrick and I sit on the shabby wooden porch in the roaring heat, watching the endless traffic roll by. We play a game called That's Mine, where you point to an attractive or interesting car to claim it. It is a game with no point, of course, and no end. It is just a form of structured boredom. The summer grinds on. One day, a bird craps on my head. I was inside recently, and so I have expended my drink and restroom allowance. I have to use my shirt to clean up as best I can. I spend the rest of the day slow baking in the sun with bird shit in my hair. As bad as this is, it is less horrible than spending the day with Amelia and her sons. Still, this is going to be a long summer.